Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local wrestling scene in and around Georgia, as well as interviews with newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
This is Georgia Wrestling Now, and my name is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com. I believe I'm being joined by Joshua Von Wheeler. Is that you, Josh? I guess not. 678 number? Anyway, hopefully we'll be joined by Josh shortly. Until then, this is Jonathan Williams, and tonight's guests are Adrian Armour and Siler Cross, otherwise known as the Lethal Weapons in Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment. Let me see if I can figure out who this is. 463 number, you're on the air. Is that you, Josh? Well, I'm sorry for starting the show with some technical difficulties. I don't know who is on the line, but I can't hear anything. Hopefully everyone can hear me. I guess I will just recap the weekend. I know here's Josh.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I was on hold for waiting for you, and then like I had another phone call, and I was like, shit, I had to take this phone call, so I apologize for that.
No problem. There was another number, and the person is indicating that they want to ask a question or come on the line, but when I bring them on,
go
they're
ahead,
not saying
get them
anything.
On.
I already had them. I thought it was you. I thought maybe you were calling from a different number or something. And anyway, so here we are. I hadn't really said much.
Yes, we're here.
Except for I don't know what's going on with you. But
let's go ahead and talk Monstrosity because I'm here. So tell us a little bit about Monstrosity this past weekend. I know you and Professor Morte and everyone in the Wrestling with Pop Culture Circle had an event, so let's talk about that first.
Yeah, it was a good event. It was pretty well attended. I would say about probably 150 paid, and then with everybody else that was there with the wrestlers and stuff, about 200 total.
Oh, nice.
And there were some kinks to be worked out. It's a new venue for MCW, and some weirdness going on behind the scenes just with the person that booked the show no longer works at Masquerade.
Oh, dear Jesus.
So, but beyond all that, the show was good. The crowd was into it. The crowd was really into the opening match, which was Chip Day and Murder One.
I like hearing that.
They were there to see Monsters, but those guys put on a great match. It probably was about 15 to 20 minutes of lots of near falls. It was hard to tell who was going to win, and then in the end, Chip Day came out on top. And, of course, anyone in the local wrestling scene knows Chip Day was trained by Murder One, so it was a teacher versus student sort of scenario. And then who else was there? Drew Game was defeated by Papa Marco, who is a fan favorite. The Wolfman, the main event was the Wolfman and a preacher guy, and I forget his name. I'm going to have to look that up. But he was protesting the show initially, and then Professor Morte got fed up with him and told him he had to wrestle a match. So
so a preacher was actually in the hell to protest the show.
And I'm looking for the recap.
So I have to ask, did Strychnine make it?
Strychnine did not. He had some car trouble. He did make it to APW that night because that's much closer to his home in Pendergrass. Then he, on Saturday, he defeated Billy Buck to become the number one contender for the Anarchy Championship, Anarchy Wrestling Heavyweight.
Oh, wow, that's a shocker. That's, wow.
So I think he's held almost every other title there aside from the television title, I believe, and it's his first opportunity at the big title there.
Right.
And then on Sunday, I saw him at the Casket Creatures had a video shoot in Gainesville, and he was involved with that, as was I, and no other wrestlers were there, but a lot of, let's see, Nathan Hamilton, who's an MCW commentator, was the director for the video, and it looks like it turned out pretty good.
Did you guys film the show?
The MCW show?
Yeah, it was the MCW show filmed.
Yeah, we had a crew there that also filmed some of the Six Flags stuff last year.
Okay, cool.
And there was some guy, I will find out, he has like a horror blog or a horror YouTube podcast kind of thing. So he was filming. There was another group of guys that I think were just friends of one of the wrestlers that have a film degree. So they're just looking for experience and practice. And the strangest one was a crew from AIB TV, which is Atlanta Interfaith Broadcasting, I believe it is, which it's a Christian channel.
Okay.
They were filming the show, and they were doing some backstage interviews with the wrestlers and things like that. So I'm curious to see how that turns out.
Yeah, that's a little interesting that a Christian channel was
in hell filming Monsters Wrestling.
Yes. The crazy life of professional wrestling.
Yeah. But on to tonight's show. As I mentioned before you got on the line, we've got the Lethal Weapons, who you're familiar with, of course, Adrian Armour and Siler Cross. Looking forward to
great
talking
young tag
to them.
Team.
Have they tagged yet, or will they?
They have not tagged at Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment, but they've been tagging down in Porterdale for quite some time, and this will be their first tag team match at Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment. So it's a pretty big tag team match to make your debut. So interesting to see how they feel about that, and of course interesting to just, you know, for the fans to get to know them, because I think that this time next year, those two guys are going to be major players in the state of Georgia, and not just at my show, but I'm thinking other shows as well. So,
well, I know Adrian Armour is a little newer to the scene, but Siler's been around for a few years, and he's actually been on the show before too, quite a long time ago. But yeah, I'm sure they will make a good team, and they're taking on Murder One and AJ Steele this Saturday, right?
Yes. That is correct.
So they've got quite a challenge there. Did you go to any wrestling shows?
I did not. I was going to go to Vintage down in Orlando, and I just wasn't really feeling good all day Saturday and was just really just tired. And so I just stayed in the house, watched a little football, and eventually fell asleep on my couch around like 9:30. So that just kind of tells you just how kind of like exhausted I've been the past, like, you know, 2 weeks. So,
but I don't know if you heard about this, and it didn't, the news didn't break until after last week's show, but Ring of Honor is now on Atlanta TV.
Yes. I meant to mention that as soon as I got on the air. Yes. It is on Atlanta TV. Did you by any chance catch it?
I didn't.
Okay.
But I don't have cable. I don't think it's a cable channel though.
It's not on cable. It's on a local WATL channel, which is channel 36 in the old UHF dial. So I don't know exactly what it would be on, like, the cable areas or anything like that. But it's on at 2 a.m. right now, and I've already spoken to some people at the TV station. Ironically enough, that is the same time slot that I was trying to broker for Rampage Pro Wrestling back when I worked there. You know, that company I killed, allegedly.
Yeah.
And I had that same time slot brokered for Rampage. So. Well, yes, allegedly I helped kill it, yes, even though I had about as much power as you know, some other people have at some other shows. But anyway, I was trying to help Rampage expand into the Atlanta area. That was, like, really my only goal, and we had the TV thing worked out, and it just fell through. And so, you know, it was ironic that Ring of Honor got that, but I messaged a TV lady, and I said I asked her a few questions, and she told me that they would be moving to the midnight time slot in the next few weeks. So be prepared for it to get a better time slot as football season starts to end.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get all the details. Yeah, it's WATL, MyNet affiliate in Atlanta. There are rumors that Ring of Honor will be running live in Atlanta sometime in the new year. As soon as that's confirmed or I get more details, I'll definitely let everyone know. But that is exciting, so people can now see Matt Sells in Atlanta again, aside from every other weekend when he's back down here for whatever reason.
You can see AJ Styles live on TV. You can catch Moose. You can catch Matt Sydal makes his debut back. You can finally catch the Briscoes. You can finally see all the talk that is Adam Cole, Michael Elgin. I mean, the roster is unbelievable. I mean, yes, of course, Matt Sells a friend of the show, so of course we're going to put him over. At the same time, I mean, you know, Ring of Honor is probably, I mean, many will argue it is the number two promotion in America right now. Maybe not by, you know, the actual, like, people that know about it, but when you actually factor in the fact that their house shows actually draw over 500 people and they have a TV in 45-plus markets, you know, I can definitely see what people would say it was the number two promotion.
Yeah. Does TNA even still do house shows? It seems like they've just been focusing on those.
I think they actually canceled a whole bunch of them while they're having their TV issues.
I believe we have Larry Goodman on the line now.
Yay!
Hey, interesting thing about the Ring of Honor thing is that it's a syndication deal.
Yes, it is. They actually are paying. Well, I guess the TV network is paying a little bit for it, yes.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and put it out here right now, Larry. When I met with them in October of 2012, was it 2012? Yeah, I guess it was October 2012. They really wanted pro wrestling even then.
Huh.
And I was told, and I'm not trying to bury anybody, I was told, and now in hindsight I found out that it would have been a better deal for the company that I was at than the local TV they had, and yet for some reason that was told that that was not going to help grow the brand.
When you say a better deal, are you saying that they were willing to pay some money to put Rampage on WATL?
They were willing to possibly help sponsor live shows in the Atlanta area, yes.
Well, God, who knows? It could have rewritten Georgia wrestling history if that had gone down, huh?
Yes. And again, I met with them and had everything pretty much, you know, on paper, and all we needed was, you know, the initial 13 episodes, and it was ready.
Huh. Hey, I just called for the quick AWE question. I noticed you got Simon Sermon versus Simon Says, which is a pretty interesting match for this Saturday. But Sermon's main eventing for each day.
You know what? It's funny that you said this, because all of a sudden I'm seeing that Simon Sermon is being advertised for two shows, Bobby Morton being advertised for two shows, and AJ Styles being advertised for two shows. And I'll just go and tell you right now, none of the guys that I've advertised have told me they are double-shotting. So that must mean they're coming to my show first, I suppose. I don't know. I don't know how it's working.
Yeah, I was just, you know, looking. I mean, you can get to Villa Rica from Canton in maybe a little over an hour. So if he's going on early on your show, Sermon can pull it off and still make the
show.
Yeah,
so again, like I said, like no one has actually asked me or anything. No one said, hey, can I double shot? So it was a surprise to me when I saw that, too.
Where is AJ Steele double shot?
I mean, he's being advertised for UIW, and he's being advertised for my show as well. And so I'm just like, okay, well, I mean, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
So UIW, are they in Temple?
I believe they are, actually, yeah.
That's a little bit more of a daunting run.
Yes, it is.
Interesting.
So. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it is what it is. I mean, I will say this. Nothing I have seen on the Google Maps has told me that the shows – I mean, I guess Simon would probably come from my show to Peach State. That would be the most logistical sense for him. And I'm assuming that Bobby Moore, is coming from Porter Dell to us, but I don't know that for sure because I guess their show starts at 6.
Yeah, that was no problem because they start at 6.
Yeah, he can legitimately make it by 8 o'clock. So,
yeah, he can pull that off. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not too, like, sweating or worried. I just, like, I saw it all today on Facebook. I'm like, okay, that guy's booked to my show. That guy's booked to my show, and that guy's booked to my show. I was like, do I need – and so I was like, I made some phone calls, and no one asked us to double shot. So, again, like I said, I'm just going with what I'm advertising.
And one other AWE question, Drew Galloway.
Yes.
That is on for October. Is that right?
Yes. Yep.
Wow.
I already sent the retainer to our good buddy. And just going to get the plane ticket here in the next few days. And everything's set in stone.
Interesting.
So make sure you're at the show on September 20th to get your pre-sale tickets for Drew Galloway there, Larry Goodman.
Well, you know, it's funny because if Knoxville falls apart, then I'm going to be at your show this Saturday if that doesn't happen. And it's still unclear whether that's
going
to happen.
How is Knoxville going?
Well, Shane Williams, there was truth to the story that Shane Williams might be running the show, but it's not 100% done deal yet. So,
wow.
I mean, definitely the show, you know, it's been advertised, tickets have been sold, it ran on their TV show this last weekend, so all signs are that the show is running, but my understanding is that here we are, 5 days out from it, it's still not 100% done deal.
Wow.
We shall see.
That is scary. But going back to Drew Galloway, it was just one of those things, and I mean, I'll go and I throw the whole story out. We actually were trying to get Matt Sydal, and he was booked. Drew Galloway just happened to be free, and I know Raw is in town the 5 days before, so I thought, shit, I'm going to be in Atlanta that week. I'm going to be at Raw, and why not take 10,000 flyers to Raw and advertise a former WWE superstar who's going to be in Canton?
Well, good
Sounds
luck with
like
that.
Good.
I mean, I hope. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You're good.
It's a risk. I mean, it's a huge gamble. So, go ahead, Jonathan. You were talking.
I was just saying. Sounds like a good approach to me.
So, I mean, you know, if you're gonna go all in, you gotta go all in. That's the way I look at it. So a lot of people will disagree with that because you're risking a loss, but at the same time, if you don't risk a loss, you can never make a win. So.
Well, I guess it's gonna tell you something pretty quick about does a former TV personality name mean, you know, does that mean anything? And with the time he's been off TV, blah blah blah, does that translate into any tickets?
That's
I mean,
true.
Yeah, he's doing great on the indie scene, but what does that translate into anything in North Georgia, in Canton?
Right.
We're going to find out.
And honestly, this is an ironic thing, and I'll just go into this out there. My biggest show to date was Raven versus Corey Chavis with the NWO World title when TNA didn't have national TV, and Raven was 4 years off of WWE TV, and we drew over 350 people.
Yeah.
In Canton. So that's to see Raven. So I'm thinking a guy who at one point was an Intercontinental Champion and literally just got fired in June. Hopefully he's still got a little bit of legs. Hopefully. He's only 29 years old and he's 6'8", so I know he can go in the ring.
Do you know yet who his opponent will be?
We're still working on the details on that one.
All right.
I mean, we got our four guys that are pretty much our go-tos when it comes to something big like this, so we'll see which one of those four are ready for this opportunity. So.
Well,
and, of course, we got some young guys that are going to try to step up on the 20th, so, you know, who knows, maybe we throw a curveball.
Yeah, I was thinking, I don't know if you guys have worked with him yet, but Drew Adler versus Drew Galloway would be a good match, probably.
Mm.
It would be interesting. I will go ahead and say that would be a very interesting matchup. And I'm not going to say that he's one of our four, but I will say that his name's been tossed around.
Well, we should be hearing from the Lethal Weapons.
As a matter of fact, I can tell you right now, one of the two guys that's calling in right now could be a finalist for that matchup.
Oh, one of the two.
Hmm. Well, if you, well,
if not
you
both of them.
If nobody is calling in, I could just mention briefly the Anarchy Show Saturday night.
Yeah,
got still got a couple minutes.
You know what? We got a few minutes. I know Adrian and Sidor are calling in. I'm about to hit them up, but
I do want to
ask you about that. Your report was kind of I would say it was misleading, but I would say it was very critical. your report was kind of critical, so I'm interested to find out, like, you know, could you explain a little bit, elaborate on what exactly you feel is going on in Cornelia right now?
Well, I mean, one thing is I think the college football theory got a little bit more weight behind it with them drawing only 80. Now, again, that's not a huge difference. They're, you know, the top end for their TV tapings is maybe 120. And
yeah,
so
they only did 130 for hostile environment, so
right.
Or 140, I think. So
they're at 80 for TV taping. You know, maybe it made a little bit of difference. Who knows? But Georgia was playing as they were at bell time, so it was a close game. So.
And it was a huge game, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe so a little bit, but yeah, for the folks I talked to, nobody really had a good idea about why that main event and why those big guys on top, which on paper is good and the action is good. Why the crowd is not really, like, grabbing onto that, I don't know, but it was weird to see how quiet people were for that main event.
So is it just a combination of just, like, a quiet, like, you know, almost a dead crowd? And, then, like, I don't want to say, like, is it because it's the same guys that's always on top? I don't want to throw that out there, but could that be part of it?
Yeah, well, I thought the Urban Assault Squad definitely. I think that would have been better just as the Elite versus Judas and the Azrael, and I'm sure they had their reasons for doing it that way because of where they're building to. But it did Urban Assault Squad no favors whatsoever to be in the match, and I think it sort of deflated people when they were beaten and taken out of the match first. Yeah, I mean, you'd think that all those big guys going against each other, that those two factions they're building now with the Elite on one side and Jeter and Azrael and Judas, that people would be really fired up for it. And I don't know what the deal is with that, but they just didn't seem to be really fired up for it.
No, and I want to ask you this too, because this is something that, you know, like, I'm trying to stay away from multi-man matches. Three and four ways to me, they're going to be clusterfucks, and B, I don't think they really establish anybody really getting over, per se. They're more for the high spot aesthetic, I feel. But I've noticed that Anarchy's really, really went to the whole three and four ways almost all the time. Like, it seems that way. Like, I could be wrong, but it seems like for the past, like, year, they've been very heavily booked with three and four ways. Is that starting to become a problem for them?
Well, I think
they
it is.
They have so many guys on the poster that they got to get on the show somehow?
Yeah, and they did that whole thing with the three-man factions. And then, well, bigger
right.
factions, and then limited to three-man factions, and they're back to a number of three-man factions, and they do a lot of three-way matches. And, yeah, I'm not personally a big fan of a lot of three-ways. Here and there, okay, but not as much as, you know, not as a staple kind of thing. So I'd rather see the – I mean, like, you know, you can't always get a Strychnine versus Billy Buck, but, man, a man-on-man match like that with a good story behind it, you just can't beat it.
Right.
And then people were remarking on that, too. Wow. Babyface versus babyface, and it got over great. You just don't expect that, particularly in that building, which is notorious for not really caring much for babyface
right.
versus babyface.
Now, and I know we got Sidor and Adrian on holds, but one last question, because, you know, I know that, you know, now you're going to be exposed to Ring of Honor a little bit more with the TV, Larry. Do you feel that this could be the turning point for Georgia, where now fans will be exposed to something that's totally not mainstream wrestling? I know it's a later time slot, but do you think this could be that thing that says, okay, this is what good wrestling is supposed to look like, now are your shows going to mimic it?
Well, I don't know that it's going to move things that much, because I don't think that many people will be watching to move things
okay.
very much. So, but we have callers on, we have the guests on hold,
yes.
right?
They're here.
We're the best.
We are. We the best boys.
so we got both of you on?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Larry, you can lead this one off.
Okay. I'm curious to know how your team came about.
No, I mean I can do it. I was like, Larry's here. Larry's got some questions. I'm sure he does.
That would be the first question I was going to ask is how did you guys become a tag team? And the pictures you guys sent me, there's a manager. I forget his name, but I'm curious how he got involved as well.
Well, honestly, it came out of a good situation, being friends outside of wrestling and traveling together and stuff and training together, and we just naturally got this chemistry to where we almost don't have to sneak in the ring. The things we do come instantaneously, and it's just like clockwork.
Adrian?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where everything aligned in the right place at the right time. I mean, you know, it was a situation where I was taken on board with some veterans, and I'm able to learn, and I'm able to move fast, and I'm able to take in advice and roll with the punches. So, you know, chemistry and just, it got to the point we don't even have to say full sentences to each other. So taking that to the ring has only been just simple.
Okay, just, you know, because you, and Siler, I guess he said you've been out here before, but Adrian's new to this. So give us a little bit of your guys' background, you know, where did you guys train, who trained you, why did you decide to get into pro wrestling, and, you know, just kind of like the basics about who you are and what wrestling's done for you and why.
You go first, Adrian.
Oh, man, wrestling 101 question. All right. Well, of course, I'm a 90s kid, so I was highly influenced by the good old Attitude Era.
Boo.
Wait a second.
That's like both of our childhood, man. You can't down that.
Ico Pro Era, baby. The Ico Pro Era. The new generation
but,
of
I mean,
shit.
It's guys like The Rock, Stone Cold, Steve Austin, Triple H. Guys like that brought me in, guys like Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho that sucked me into the TV and kept me as a little kid just watching, knowing that sooner or later I was going to end up being off the couch to give an elbow, and hopefully that couch was going to turn into a ring. So sooner or later, of course, time went by, and I started training over at Platinum Championship Wrestling. At that time, the training was Fred Avery, and he trained me big time. Like, he taught me more psychology than just trying to do all the moves all the time. And I think that's one of the things that I benefit from a lot of the people that are around me lately. So Fred Avery really took a hold of me and just shaped me into what I am now. And towards the end of it, Jay Fury took over, and then that's when it became all about moves and bumping and dying and killing other people and all that. That was fun too. It was tiring, but it was fun. But now it's almost training week by week with whoever's near me, because I think the best thing you can do in this business is to learn from everyone that's around you, positive or negative.
Siler?
Honestly, I always laugh and say I was born to do this in a little bit of a fashion, because the story I can throw at everybody is I've always been told is, as I was being born, my father was sitting in the delivery room watching wrestling. So I felt like I was born to go do something like that. And all the things have kind of lined up the way they were supposed to and got me to where I am. And I got an opportunity to train at WWA 4 with Curtis Hughes. And I'll be the first person to tell you, as a big man, it taught me how to move and how to take care of myself better than I think anywhere else I could have trained. And then after I was there, I went and started training with Steve Platinum and Jay Fury and all the guys at TCW. And that, I like to call it my finishing school. It taught me how to think better as a wrestler, how to, like, what does what when, why you do it there and things like that. And taught me how to speak better and things along that nature. And now I just try to train with anybody I can. You know, me and Adrian travel with Chip, and we're always talking to Chip, and he's always helping us with our matches and giving us some advice on the little tweaks we can do. And we just all watch wrestling constantly. I was always really into it. It's funny. Josh knows me already. He hates my biggest influence, which is Hulk Hogan. You'll watch me and you can see. Hulk Hogan is one of those guys that I grew up in outside Baltimore, Maryland, so all I got was Fed TV, and that's what I knew with Hulk. Hulk and Ultimate Warrior and Earthquake and all those guys, and as I got older, I started learning more. But I think my biggest influence is probably going to be Morishima from Japan. And now I like watching some of the little guys like Eddie's psychology is really good. Jericho's psychology is really good, stuff like that.
Jonathan or Larry?
You've both been on the good side and on the bad side of the fans. Do you have a preference, and if so, why, from each of you?
It's an interesting question. I don't really – it's weird because I don't really mind either way because it's a completely different style one way or the other because, you know, you can be a dick when you're a heel and cheat and do a bunch of cheapskate stuff, but when you're a baby, you kind of got to be smarter, especially when most of the time you're booked as a heel like I am because I'm so big and I have the dominating, like, feature and look and all that. So it's a different aspect that I like to throw in every once in a while because I've also found that working one way helps you work the other way better.
Yeah. That last sentence said a lot because that's exactly how I feel. I've always started as like the hotshot babyface. People loved it, but I got so much better at being a babyface once I started working with people because I knew exactly what needed to be there at each time from the other side. So right now, I guess my preference would be to work babyface, and it's only because I've worked here for a while now, and anywhere I go, people are starting to like me, whether if I'm an asshole or not.
I'm actually having the same issue.
Yeah, so it's sooner or later we're going to end up having to give people what they want, because, you know, essentially, that's who's running this business.
That's interesting, Sarah, because I would have seen you like more as a natural heel because of your size rather than a natural baby.
That's kind of what happens. Everybody wants to book me as that monster, and it's weird. I guess the best way to describe it is I got that natural just like shine about me, I guess, that natural charisma, and no matter what, people tend to get behind me because of, I guess, the way I act in the ring. Heel or baby, because I'm kind of a dick when I'm a heel.
I've noticed it. It looks like you really enjoy it, Adrian.
I do. I mean, either way, I enjoy it because it's literally the polar opposite of my personality. So I never feel like I'm out of place. Whether if I'm a baby or a heel, I'm still me all the way. So I get to play off the one, you know, that asshole where you always get your shoes stepped on every day or someone always chews you out and you just sit there and take it. I finally get to release that bad guy that I always keep inside. So being a heel, it's fun. It's fun.
Jonathan?
Yeah. Where all are you guys tagging together right now? Is it just at AWE?
Well, we've got AWE and then we've got NWA Atlanta. We're booked for us there soon. UIW, we're working Usual Suspects, or I'm sorry, not Usual Suspects, Blacklist, on the week after AWE, so next Saturday. The city escapes me. I can't think of where they're at right now. Where else do we have? I feel like we have some other dates.
Right now, it's kind of a full steam right now. We were at BCW tagging there. We, of course, like I said, UIW, and we're at AWE. We've tagged together at Beyond before, Beyond Wrestling. So
yeah, I forgot we worked both Beyond as well.
Yeah, we're just rolling with the punches, getting everywhere we can.
So speaking about PCW a little bit, I you guys don't have to delve into it too much if you don't want to, but I noticed that Siler, you're not doing a lot of more PCW. Is that just like a conscious thing, or do you just, you know, wanted to like try to do some other things on the weekends with like what's going on there? And I know Adrian, of course, is still there right now, you know, chugging along in the singles division now. So, you know, is that just something more business-wise, or what is that league is going on there?
I mean, it's always business, man. It's wrestling. You can't prosper staying where you are, and sometimes it takes change to make you grow. And it was time to grow a little bit. And I've noticed since I've left, things have kind of started rolling a little bit more, getting more bookings and things like that on those weekends. And it's just nature of the beast. It's not one of those things I'm never going back, but because, you know, it's wrestling. You can never say never.
Right. So do you guys prefer to tag, or do you prefer to do singles?
I really like tag wrestling because it's fun. But singles wrestling is its own unique monster on its own. I think tagging is just one of those things where you can get, not just to get the crowd behind you, but the crowd tends to get you behind you the match more, because when the guys are having fun, you can tell it, and it makes you want to get into it. Because, I mean, I remember being as a fan when the Animal Wrestling Attitude Era again, when you see the guys that act like assholes and trying to rip each other in the ring and stuff, and you can kind of, it correlates to the energy and emotion of the match, and it normally almost gets you more into it, because you're like, oh, what are these guys going to do next?
For me, it's it all depends, because with tag team wrestling, to me, it all depends on flow and chemistry. I'll tell you right now, I'm not a fan of tag team wrestling where I'm just smashed up with a random partner, because to me, then it just turns into almost a fatal four-way match. You just got like four guys that are just randomly there for no reason. Tag team wrestling with chemistry, with partnership, with flow, I think it's awesome, and I love it, and I enjoy it. And this is one of the first times that I'm able to dive into tag team wrestling and really enjoy it, because I haven't had a partner that I've enjoyed being in the ring with and can trust to be along the whole way.
Guys, we have a caller. Going to bring them on the line, see if they have a question for you.
I can only imagine he's calling in.
You're on George Wrestling now with the Lethal Weapons. Who is this? Hello? 575?
All right. Nah, just wait. Just cut them. They're not talking. So I got a question. You guys were at PWX this past weekend. Did you guys work the show? Did you guys have a tryout? What's going on with you guys in PWX?
Oh.
Did I hit a nerve already? Jesus, we just got the interview.
No.
It's an interesting situation.
Well, like what was said earlier, we travel all together all the time. Chick was a surprise partner for Cedric Alexander at PWX, so of course. We rode up to North Carolina with him. For us, I took it as a learning experience. Every time I go somewhere and I'm not booked on a show, of course, meet everybody in the back, meet the booker, the show, and see if this is where you want to be or if you can make this promotion better. So that's what we did. And it was an interesting night. We'll just say that.
I would say that we watched Chip get his ass kicked by three guys that looked like circus clowns, and it made me sad.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
I mean, in the real world, I'd jump in and just help him, but, you know, I'm professionalism and all. I can't really just swing a hammer at people.
I was more sad about the circus clown's idea than I was actually Chip getting beat up. Legit, they were wearing, like Juggalo paint, like ICP, Doink the Clown.
Like, they're trying to do, like, the best thing is kind of like Menagerie, or whatever it is on TNA, where one guy is, like, dressed up kind of like in clown paint, but he's in real dark clothing, and he's their announcer with the crazy, voice and shit. And then they got two guys that, honestly, one of the guys that kept on Adrian the entire night, I saw Murder One, and who was the other guy I thought was with him? They fused together like DVD Fusion. I can't remember who the other one was. Oh, Murder One and AJ.
Yeah.
They did DVD Fusion, and they got the guy that Chip wrestled.
Gotcha. Wow.
Well, where would you guys, if you're going to expand your horizons beyond the places you're working now, possibly even outside the states, the borders of the state of Georgia, what thoughts come to mind? Where would you like to go?
I want to travel. I just, since I started wrestling, I wanted to go to Japan and Australia, which two really like off the boards to compare to each other. I when I first started wrestling, I started reading a lot about Brody, and Brody did all this time over in Australia, and it always made me want to go over. And that's just the big guy in Japan stuff. But anywhere across the country, I've done a show for I did a show for CZW up in Ohio. Me and Chip did a Beyond show up in Boston. So really, anywhere of the states open for me as well.
With me, I just want to get out of this country. I wasn't even born here, so being here, you know, seeing the opportunities that are way past the state, I want to go. Of course, I was born in Germany, so I want to jump back to Germany, and I want to wrestle in Germany. Australia's popped up a lot for all of us, so Australia is a place that I really want to go as well, and of course, I want to get hit really hard in the face in Japan, and, you know, there's to me, there is no boundaries, because if you set a boundary, you're limiting yourself. So anywhere and everywhere, to me, is where I want to go.
Anywhere closer to home that you, you know, you've thought about you'd like to go to but have not been booked at yet?
I think FIP sounds cool. I think we can keep up down there and really have some good matches. Maybe. Go ahead. You still there, guys? Sound like my phone cut off.
We're here.
Okay.
We're here.
FIP and then Evolve. I'm friends with AR Fox, so I'd like to get down there and maybe have a crazy-ass match with him down in that area.
That'd be an interesting matchup.
Mm-hmm. I train with Fox, so I mean, I know I can go with him. It's just getting it on that bigger scale.
Right.
FIP, really anywhere. Like, I would like to go back to Florida and show out a little bit. FIP, of course, everybody nowadays wants to go over to California and go to PWG.
Yeah.
That's a big one right now. But right now, you know, as far as Georgia, to me, we're looking for that big breakout promotion in Georgia. Everyone right now is kind of, I feel like, is on the same level. There is not that breakout show in Georgia now where everyone is like, I need to get on that show. So as far as Georgia-wise, I'm waiting for that to happen, because then you're going to get the best of the best out of Georgia, not just guys that are close to the venue.
Why do you think that is? Why doesn't Georgia have that, you know, breakout show?
I think people got too ticked.
Yeah.
That's just my overall statement on it. I think a lot of people, as far as in the back, management, bookers, promoters, they got to that top for a little while, they got too ticked. And when you get too ticked, you let a lot of things slide. You let them write that down where you work. So now you just got shows that are just here and there. You got a lot of people that are like, oh, I have a few $1,000s. I can make a show. And they draw for a little while, and then they just go right back. And then sooner or later, they pop back up again. You have hundreds of those now. So now it's turned into you have too much and not enough good.
And sometimes when you look around, it almost looks like Georgia wrestling has become a pissing contest. Because there's parts of Georgia, like North Georgia, where you'll have a show that opens up 15 minutes away from another show just because they got pissed off at the original show they were at and they were trying to show them
mm-hmm.
up.
That's true. Jonathan, you got any fields?
Yeah, you guys mentioned Murder One and AJ Steele a moment ago, which is who you'll be facing this Saturday at AWE. I know Adrian... you wrestled Murder One, I guess, at the last AWE show. But as a tag team, I don't think you guys have faced them. I might be wrong about that. But either way, what are you guys what do you expect from that match, and what are your thoughts going into it?
It's gonna be interesting. Everybody has a unique skill set, to say the least. And it's funny because me and AJ are two big guys, but we aren't like normal big guys, so it adds a completely different dynamic to the entire match.
Yeah, I mean, there's not many matches where I'm placed in, where I'm the smallest one in there.
That's true. You are going to be the smallest one.
That is true. Wow, I didn't think of that.
I'm 6'2", 245 pounds, and I'm usually not a small guy in the ring. But the advantage I have is that I'm the youngest, which to me, I don't look at as a disadvantage. I don't look at it as I've been in the business long enough. I look at it as I can roll just a little bit faster and a little bit longer. And to me, that's all it takes. Now, I've never had a problem with AJ Steele. I've never had a problem with Murder One. Just sometimes you gotta take out the generation ahead of you to be able to take it out on top.
It's like Rick Flair said, you gotta beat the man to be the man. And to my knowledge, there are some 2009 blocks. So we're gonna beat their ass and prove a point.
That was aggressive. That was really aggressive.
I mean, Murder and AJ bring the aggressive out of me. I can't help it.
Adrian, have you been in the ring with AJ Steele before?
Besides the part that I jumped him and then buried him in the mouth, that was probably the only time I've been in the ring with. But besides that, no, I have not.
He's a pretty physical guy. No, he's a pretty physical guy.
I mean, we both like to hit people. It's one of those things we like to do on our off time called wrestling.
That's true.
So my question is this. If you guys had anything to watch when it comes to wrestling, what are you guys putting in your DVD player? What are you guys putting on the network? Whatever. Like, what are you guys going to watch?
That's a really broad open-ended question. That's a really broad open-ended question. Right now, I really like the Monday Night War stuff. I saw the DVD or the Blu-ray they put out last year or something, and the stuff they're doing now is definitely extended more than they had done on that Blu-ray. So that's really good and entertaining. And then I like watching the documentaries when they come on because I always like hearing stories from guys.
I guess I'll just go with what I've been watching a lot lately, and trying to pick which one I watch the most. I've actually really been diving into the Dragon Gate stuff, and of course PWG. That's been a big one lately.
Forgot we watched that one.
Yeah, I mean we all pretty much we sit around and watch wrestling for hours, and it goes from. Japanese PWG, so we'll watch some WWE, and we'll jump over here and we'll lost 5 hours a day watching, everything. To me, that's the best way to be diverse because no one's looking for another Ricochet or another UHA Nation or another Stone Cold or another Rock. They're looking for a new guy. The only way you can be a new guy is to be different. Most of the time, that's taking these bunch of things and putting them together to make them.
And that's where you'll kind of see so we both have that same philosophy because we both don't want to be like someone, but we take pieces of everything from everyone that we like. And it really creates this uniqueness because the few people I pull from are completely different from the people he pulls from. When they become together, it's like this completely new concoction of crazy stuff.
Right. Now, you guys have had the luxury of working with Jeff G. Bailey as a manager and Chip Day as kind of like your training partner and kind of like your mentor. What's it like learning from probably two of the better minds in the Georgia wrestling scene? Like how is that, just to soak up all that information, all that knowledge that those two guys have?
Having Jeff at ringside is invaluable. I mean, he's got so much experience, and I immediately think of Harley Race and Vader when Bailey's my manager. It's a experience all unique to its own.
What about you, Adrian?
To me, it's been the most valuable thing in my career so far. Because most of the times you don't see young guys get pulled around with Chip and with Tyler or with Jeff. You see guys that fit in 3-4 years being able to roll around with them. It was literally my very first taping, maybe my third match that both Chip and Fowler saw me. And immediately they were giving me advice after that match. And then 2 hours later that day, I got to wrestle Chip and getting advice from that. And then it's just been a snowball. And now it's feeding me everything I need to know. So being with Jeff, being with Chip, being with Fowler, it's one of the reasons why I am where I am right now, so early.
Can you give any specific gems you've picked up from Jeff or from Chip? Anything specific come to mind?
Good or bad?
Either way.
Because, both. The reason why I ask that is because a lot of the time, especially recently, I just get very little advice. And to me, that's awesome because that means I get messed up too much. But keys on selling is a big thing for me. Cleanliness as far as delivery, as far as taking something, all of that. Those have been two big things. Also, utilization of a manager. If he's out there, they can mean something. Don't just have him be a cheerleader that's slapping on the apron. You know, make that something. Because now, if you don't, you just have an item out there that's there for no reason. You know, everything would be completely the same if he was gone. So why would he be there? Make him mean something. So those are some key things that I always keep rolling in my head. Of like 100,000 things that I've been told.
How about you, Silas? I mean, as far as what you've picked up from, particularly from Mr. Bailey, I'm wondering.
Honestly, from Bailey, I've always had this complex where I don't realize how big I am, and working with Bailey, it really helped me figure out some of my pacing as far as a big guy and when to do things at certain times. That was the biggest thing, because I always wanted to move around like Chip and guys like that, because that's how I was training with a bunch of little guys, and that was probably the most invaluable thing I got from him. And Chip's constantly helping me on my timing. Like, that's the biggest thing. It's not necessarily timing with connecting with people, but, like, my timing of placement with things within the match.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a big crucial thing for me here lately as well.
Yeah, well, when it comes to managing big guys, of course, as you know, Bailey loves managing monsters, so he's, yeah.
I mean, he helps so much, like, just in little things, like teaching me how to interact while I'm working in the ring and stuff like that. Like, there's a lot of little things that he helped me with that as soon as I started doing them, they immediately changed everything.
Cool.
So going back to a little bit earlier in the conversation, you guys said, you know, Georgia doesn't really have the breakout promotion and pretty much everybody's on the same level. Why do you feel that, like, you know, a Beyond and FIP and some of these other promotions have been able to kind of, like, become, like, these little breakout promotions? You know, what's getting those guys a leg up on, you know, Georgia when, you know, if you really break it down, Georgia's got some of the best talent in the world. It's just nobody's seeing them. So, you know, is it just – do you really feel it's just like a management thing, or do you feel like it's, you know, like, you know, I kind of want to delve into that a little bit more.
Wrestling's funny. I've had this conversation with Adrian and Chip here recently where I used to play hockey when I was younger, and hockey is one of these weird sports where you can't have all superstars to make your team great. It's got to be some blue-collar guys. It's got to be some guys who are willing to go work hard, and you got some superstars. And wrestling promotions, I've found, tend to kind of be like that. The more superstars you have, not necessarily the better product. And it's the other way around. If you want to be lackluster on your talent and not pay for it, then you're not going to have a good product either. So there's that fine mix. And you're finding with places like Beyond and things like that, they're finding their level of bringing in their top talent to raise their upper mid card and their upper card guys to a level where it makes the entire company stand out, where you've got the tax refund companies and stuff like that paying guys nothing or like bringing in guys to train for a week and a half and they're on the show, and then those are the ones that are the let's get the cheapest talent we can and see what we can do, and they flounder and they hurt wrestling as a whole.
Adrian?
You really want me to answer this honestly?
Of course.
Okay.
Do you have a glass of ice in your hand right now?
I don't, but I was about to make that reference. I have only been in this business. Matter of fact, I haven't even been in this business long enough to sip a glass of tea. But just I'm a very observant person, and these are the things that I see. Companies like FIT, companies like Evolve, companies like TWT, they care. That's the biggest thing that shines. As far as talent and management, they care. That's why they break out. You have around here where they don't care enough to see, or they don't care enough to really care to see what talent is in their rank, as long as their show goes another 2 weeks. So you got guys that get booked on shows that don't deserve it, that aren't working
right, yeah.
hard, that aren't training, that aren't trained.
Because they're someone's
and
friend?
Yeah, and they're put on the show because they're nearby, or because they're a friend of a friend, or because, you know, they brought their gear in and talked to the promoter and was like, hey, man, I have my gear, and they get put on the show. So then you have shows that try to come up, but they get slapped down by things like that. That's all because they don't care. If they cared about what kind of talent they produced in the ring, they would make sure they had that kind of talent in the ring all the time.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of places, like, in this state that used to be the show where guys that were sweating their asses off was like, I'm working hard to get on this show. Now it's not like that anymore. Now
right.
you got guys that go on, you know, such and such website, and they have the straight up confidence that they know they can get on any show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one's sending in footage or booking resumes and stuff like that anymore to hope to get accepted. To me, getting on a promotion is like, you know, getting another job. You're putting
yeah,
in that
job. Exactly.
You're putting
uh-huh.
in that work. Yeah. And but most people don't see that. They think, oh, I got that handshake. I'm going to get on this promotion next week. And then there's no one in the back that cares enough to tell them their shit is bad.
Yeah, that's a big
there's
issue.
Very few people, there's very few people that are going to straight up say, hey, your stuff is bad. This is what you need to do to fix it. That's why I'm glad I'm with Tyler and Tiffany. They'll tell me if I have a bad match and what was
right.
bad about it. They're not going to sugarcoat me with that because they don't want me to be bad. I don't want myself to be bad. But a lot of people don't have that. And that's what's wrong. Because you think Adam Cole goes out for Ring of Honor and it's just like, I don't care how my match goes, but I'm going to go out there and do it. No, because that's why he is where he is. So it's a mindset thing from all the way from the roster to the management to the promoter, the booker. You know, how do you feel when you promote a show and know you're going to have three matches on that show? That's awful. And then you have to point out two matches and say, I hope these two matches save the show. When you're in that situation, something needs to change. And a lot of promotions right now mm-hmm. are in that situation.
That's a good observation, and I mean, but and then that's my other question: is like, do you feel that like some of these people in management and some of these bookers, do you think they actually understand what good talent is, or do they just say this guy's gonna, you know, he just? I mean, seriously, I'm being dead serious. Like, I mean, you look at some of the shows in Georgia; some of these guys should not be getting booked. Period.
Honestly, I think it comes down to the almighty dollar. I think no one's willing to spend money to make money anymore.
Yeah, that's the sad part.
Yeah, and. It's very few people have balls anymore.
Yeah.
That's another big thing. No, there's, and that's what hurts me. A lot of people are almost preying on the people that won't say no. So they'll go and ask that one booker that wants no to be like, hey, man, I really want to get on the show, blah, 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 knowing they're not going to get turned down. And then they go and shit the bed, and then it's one of those situations where it kind of makes it harder for guys like me where, you know, I'm busting my ass a year in, and when they see other guys do that, and then I try to walk on that promotion and be like, hey, you know, I've been in, they're looking at me a little more sour because they just had a guy come in at a year and just destroy everything. So it's one of those situations where some promotions, their booker's way too old and they don't have their finger on the product like they used to. So they're not looking at the same product that the people that are walking in want it to be.
Right.
And there's another situation where they're letting their friends play. They're letting the friends play wrestlers instead of having guys that want to do this be wrestlers inside their ring.
Well, what you said, Adrian, about, you know, the getting that feedback on what you're doing and how to improve and where you screwed up and how to make things better. If you're not getting that, how do you improve as a professional? Just like any profession. I mean, that's just part of being a professional. If you're not getting critique of your work, how do you become a better professional? I don't know how you can do it.
Exactly. I tell everybody, after my matches, I try to go up to anyone and everyone that's at least seen 2 seconds of and tell me what they thought. That's why a lot of people that come and see me wrestle, they say, each time I see you, you improve every single time. Because to me, that's the only way you're going to get something. If you don't get as much information from as many viewpoints as you can, why are you even doing it? Why are you even doing, you know, anything that you're striving to do? Because you're not just going to have one set of eyes on you. And hopefully, if you make it big, you're going to have millions of eyes on you. So you need as many vantage points as you can get.
It's funny, I've been doing this almost 5 years now, and I still do the same thing. If there's someone that either I respect a lot as a peer or someone that's my veteran that has all these years of experience, they can tell me, I'll stop and say, hey, did you watch my match? Or I'll ask them beforehand, hey, can you watch my match?
Jonathan, you got anything else?
No, not really, and it's about 8 o'clock.
I got one last question. This just hit me. Since you guys are '90s kids, what do you guys think about Surge making a comeback?
I was just talking about that game.
I'm indifferent because I only had it. Like, I don't know if I just didn't get a bunch of exposure to it or what, but it's kind of cool. I'm not going to go to the great lengths and go on Amazon to order it or anything like that, though.
Oh, yeah, $14 for 12 packs is a little much. But it is,
yeah.
If you think about it, Surge is probably the original energy drink.
It's
yeah.
True. It was crammed full of caffeine and heart attacks.
Yep.
It was Jolt.
And that. And now the energy that's in Monsters is way more than what's in a Surge, so it isn't
yeah,
going to
really.
Like, affect us.
Shows you how much we've evolved, or I guess devolved, depending on how you want to look at it.
But, you know, and it's so funny, because, like, when I was in high school, like, the little 8.4-ounce Red Bulls, that was, like, enough to get you going. Like, that was, like, my senior year of high school. And then,
and
you know, as you can look on,
day.
And now you got these, yeah, now you got these 32-ounce fucking bottles of Red Bull, and it's like, I got to have one every morning, you know? It's like, what the fuck? But, yeah. The life of the wrestling business, you get absolutely hooked on caffeine, and you can't get off.
It's true.
That's true.
When I drive and stuff, people are always chugging those 5-hour energies and Red Bulls and all the other crap.
Like in B12 fucking IV shots.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've got all the information I need, so I'm good. Jonathan, you got anything else? I know they want to go in and watch Raw, so.
No, we have late to the game to make. We ain't watching Raw.
That's true. We got to hit the gym. But I actually want to flip the script real quick. Larry, I've been wanting to ask you this for a minute, so this is my time to do it. You've probably seen me at each little mile marker, I guess I could put, like 2 months, 4 months, like 8 months. Just recently, maybe like a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you stopped me and you asked me, how long have you been working? And then you were surprised. What is it in my work? What is it that you see in my progress that made you surprised by that? Because I've been answering that question for a while, and a lot of people are surprised, but I never really get why. Because to me, of course, every artist is their biggest critic, so to me, my work is getting there. But you see a lot of wrestling, so I want to know straight from you, why were you surprised by that number?
Because the thing was when I saw you in that early stage where you'd only been, you know, actually doing matches for a couple months, you look like a guy who'd only been doing matches for a couple months. You were pretty clueless. You had the size, but you were pretty clueless about what to do and when to do it and how to put a match together and how to use facial expressions. And then I see you nine months later, and you're already incorporating so many things in that short of a period of time. So that's what struck me. Is that you're already, you know, you're getting how to use your body, how to use facial expressions, when to do different things in a match, and it just seemed like a very rapid change, and that's why it caused me to ask you the question.
Okay. I mean, it's just me once again gathering information because inside and outside the ring, I'm a person that I'm a studier, even when it comes to myself. I watch my matches almost too much now just to see where I am, what am I doing, what am I selling. So, you know, being able to ask you, being able to ask guys like Josh and stuff like that, what does my work do for them, and does it look like I can make something out of it? Same thing as a tag team. I always ask, hey, you know, tag team work as what we're doing, is it good?
I guess at the bottom of it too is does what the wrestler is doing, does it connect with me on some kind of an emotional level? Do I have an emotional reaction to what they're doing? Can I connect with what they're doing? Like seeing Trevor Ann at the Anarchy show this last week, there was something different about what he was doing that made him interesting to watch. He was intriguing to watch. And that's what I saw in you was like just in the first couple of months, you know, you were just okay, you're just learning, well, that's fine. But now you're somebody, you know, when I saw you a couple of months ago, this is somebody I want to watch. This guy's interesting. I want to see what he's going to do next.
I think that's a great place to end. Because next Saturday, 8 p.m., at the Buffington School Gym, the old Buffington School Gym, and next is Adrian Armour and Siler Cross trying to put an end to the usual suspects. Find out more at AtlantaWrestlingEntertainment.com. Keep plugging my own website.
Let's put it this way. If y'all want to see a show, come out to that wrestling event. Because me and Adrian, we aren't going to mess around with murdering AJ this time. We're not going to jump them. We're not going to do anything dirty. We're just going to prove a point, and we're going to kick their ass.
Wow.
Well, you guys mentioned some of the other shows you're working earlier in the show, but just maybe if you left any out or whatever, are there any other shows you're working this weekend or the following weekend that you want to mention?
No, I actually think we have a rare off weekend next weekend. We don't, actually. We've got UIW next weekend. So I can't – what do we got coming up past that? Can you think off the top of your head? I know we're waiting on NWA for dates, but we'll be starting there in probably the next month or so. I can't think of what's coming up next. I know we got dates coming in. I've just got to look at my calendars and stuff.
All right. I think we lost Adrian. Let me see. Okay, we got him back.
Yeah, all right, there we go. No, my phone, I guess, didn't like a lady's compliment. Sorry. But dates, scheduling, all of that. Yeah, we got UIW, we got dates coming in for NWA. Of course, we got AWE coming up. But I want to go on my DX rant right now and tell everyone that's listening, even the people on the line, that you can also go to prowrestlingtees.com/lethalweapons and get some fantastic Lethal Weapons wear. We're going to have tons of T-shirts up very soon. We already have three. So, you know, if you question, if you like lariat, if you like to eat donuts, if for some reason you're still watching Dragon Ball Z, you need to buy some products because that's the place to get them.
And also on prowrestlingtees.com/lethalweapons, you'll start seeing some Chip Day merchandise showing up soon as well.
Chip Day merchandise, Siler Cross merchandise, Adrian Armour merchandise. Look, I can go on and on. And guess what? You can get them all for $19.99.
Now, you know what? I have to ask this question because, you know, Pro Wrestling Tees is pretty easy to use. I mean, you know, I got some stuff on there, you know, back when I was in another podcast, and it was very easy. It was like, boom, send it off, boom, get a logo made, boom, upload your logo, and then, your fan base just orders it, and they just put money in your PayPal account. Yes, I've had a seller or two. But the whole thing is like, I mean, it's like, why are more guys in Georgia not utilizing this? Like, and how did you guys figure out to utilize it?
Go ahead. You already had your thought for him. Go ahead, bro.
It goes back to what I said earlier. They don't care.
Man.
They don't care. Why would you be sitting down if you didn't really care? Why would you be sitting down knowing you have an outlet to get merchandise, an outlet for someone to make your T-shirt and all of that and not use it. You know, they don't charge out the ass for shirts. They don't charge anything for storage. They don't charge anything but, like $5 for all of it.
And the beautiful part is, it's not like you pay to have them print a whole bunch of shirts at once. They actually will wait. When an order comes in, because it'll take about 7 days to get your shirt, but when your order comes in, they pull your shirt off the rack, and then they put a fresh print on it, and it goes straight out to you. It's not like they print a bunch of them up and hold on to them.
So, I mean, it'll all.
But you can buy them in bulk and sell them at shows. I mean, that is an option. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
And they are high quality shirts. I mean, so.
They're high quality, and their rate for selling them to us wholesale is actually a really good rate. It's better than a lot of the companies I've actually talked to.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
Yeah. The most
we'll have to talk off air about
that. Georgia. Well, most of the companies around Georgia and stuff, they want to charge you anywhere from $10 to $15 a shirt. Especially if you have color on a color shirt. But this place is not anywhere near that. But it also depends on your design and what you're having done.
Right.
But with all that said and done, $19.99? That's a steal. That is a steal. I don't care what else
is
$9.99, because $9.99 $10 more, you can get a shirt. You can wear that forever. What if the power goes out? You don't have anything. $9.99 won't mean anything if the power goes out. So to me, $19.99, that's a lifesaver.
Wow.
See, he's like the built-in hype man to the group. It's great.
This is fantastic.
I mean, to me, you can walk around with me as a Dragon Ball Z character thinking about me throwing this to players. You can walk around thinking about donuts all day because you may be jelly, but you got the shirt. You can be walking around thinking about how hard we hit people with lariat.
We hit people
sooner or later,
hard,
you can
so.
Walk around. You can walk around with Chip Dane's face right on your shirt. And no,
like,
you're not.
There's like a James Dean face, and there's all kinds of
exactly.
fun things that should put up there.
You're not gonna
make
Bobby Fish face. You're actually going to be able to do and not die because you bought the shirt. So to me, $19.99 saves your life. So to me, prowrestlingtees.com/lethalweapons, it'll save your life, it'll make you jelly, and also, you know, you'll be a lethal weapon, honorary lethal weapon.
And you get to deserve to put your finger up in the air.
Is the illustration that you guys sent me, is that what's on your T-shirt?
No, that's the one of our next shirts coming out, though. That's our new logo. That's kind of going to be on everything we do. We're going to have a different version for, like, photos and videos and stuff like that. But that's going to be our, for lack of a better term, branding.
Who drew that?
Casey Kincaid. We do the outline of it, and then Della Vega finishes off one with digital art. Casey Kincaid's a hell of an artist. He can do belts and T-shirts and gear, and he designed the Platinum Championship Wrestling belt. He designed Chip's Made in Kennesaw gear. He's a hell of an artist.
Cool. Well, Josh, Larry, do you guys have anything else for the Lethal Weapons?
I'm good, man. I am totally good.
I think we covered it.
Yep.
All right. Well, once again, you can see them this Saturday at AWE and the next weekend at UIW and various other places. Where can people find out more about where you will be wrestling? Do you post it on social media anywhere or anything like
that? It's all over social media. We have a Lethal Weapons Twitter. I can't think of the handle off of it, but it's on both.
Oh, should I go
Twitter
social
pages.
Media plug right now?
Social media crazy because you're social media, man.
You can find us on Twitter at LethalWeapons11. You can also find us both on Twitter individually at Skylar Cross and at Kingston with 3 N's, 498. Also, we're all over Instagram. We're all over Facebook with the same name. And once again, $19.99. You can see us on ProWrestlingTees.com/lethalweapons.
If you can't tell, we were raised by the Attitude Era and DX all the way.
Oh, Jesus. I was raised by Todd Pettengill, so I'm going to throw it out. You can go to AtlantaWrestlingEntertainment.com. You can go to the roster page for Adrian Armour. You can click right there and go right to his shirts. You can go to the Slider Cross page and link right to his shirts. It's already set up for you. You don't have to worry about typing all that other pro wrestling tees bullshit.
Wait a minute, okay? That's a convenient shortcut, I will add. It is convenient, but ProWrestlingTees.com/lethalweapon is the OG of URL.
All right, well, we appreciate you guys calling
in. This is definitely fun.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Right, we'll talk to you later. So I'm looking at gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com, upcoming events. And this Saturday...
Fucking busy weekend.
Yeah, it's loaded, man. It's loaded this weekend.
This is why I really didn't want to start running Saturdays again right here.
Yeah. So in addition to AWE in Canton on Saturday, there's Empire Wrestling Entertainment in Rossville. There's Livewire Wrestling in Augusta. I'm skipping over all the ones that are not in Georgia. Though there are some that are within driving distance for depending on where you live in Georgia. There's Passion of Wrestling in Dublin, Peach State Wrestling Alliance in Villarica. We mentioned Porterdale, I think, earlier, or maybe not,
yes.
I don't know. Universal Independent Wrestling in Franklin. And Sunday, Night of Champions, WWE's pay-per-view, or whatever they call them now, is in Nashville. So depending on where you are in Georgia, that could be just a couple of hours away, or maybe not even that much if you're up in the northeast or northwest of Georgia. And then Friday is All-Star Wrestling Network in Fort Valley, Alternative Pro Wrestling in Royston, which those are regular ones on Fridays. But it's a big Saturday, especially for Georgia wrestling. So you really have very little excuse. There's got to be wrestling somewhere near you, wherever you are in Georgia. Larry, are you going to any of these shows? You mentioned you're going to AWE if the other one falls through.
It's a question of where. Yeah, either Knoxville or AWE. It's a tough call this weekend. Peach State looks kind of interesting, but I think I got to see. If I'm not in Tennessee, I got to see what AWE does in Canton. My curiosity is getting the best of me.
Jimmy Ray versus Mike Cruz, Larry Goodman, first time ever. That should be enough to get you in the door.
Yeah, I'm a big Mike Cruz fan, and yeah.
I know you are, and you're a big Jimmy Ray fan. I mean, come on, this is a classic. This is one of those things that only happens once in a 6-month time period. The way Show in a Box is getting booked everywhere in the United States.
What other matches do you guys have scheduled on Saturday, Josh?
We have scheduled Bobby Moore versus Tommy Pinarelli. It will be at least Fireman's Band from ringside. It should be a one-on-one matchup. We have the debut of the Heartburn Foundation of Curry Kid and Cajun Curry. We have Apollo and Axel will be appearing. Owen Knight and Kiera will be there. Priscilla Kelly and Jeremy Foster will be in attendance. Mr. Sleeves has just backed out, so we're making some quick changes to that. Ken Lee, I believe, is scheduled to appear, and, of course, the usual suspects will face the Lethal Weapons we just talked to. Corey Chavis battles the AT Alien, the WWA 4 top prospect, the AT Alien. This kid's going to be something special. And, of course, like I said, Mike Cruz versus Jimmy Rave and Simon versus Simon in what could perhaps be the most entertaining wrestling match in 2014 with neither guy taking a bump.
All right. Well, the following weekend appears to be just the opposite. There's hardly anything going on wrestling-wise.
It's just anarchy. Anarchy,
yeah.
The 27th is all that's going on, really.
Yeah, well, there's APW on Friday, as always, and Empire on Saturday, it looks like.
That's right.
That's
Empire.
So,
yep.
That is a good time, I think, for us to talk to Tim Corbin, the guy who wrote Pioneers of Professional Wrestling, who contacted me a while back. And you and I talked off the air about this book. It is very much an encyclopedia, so it's not
It is not, and it's not available on Audible. I looked to see if it was on Audible because, you know, I wanted to listen to it, and Audible is one of our sponsors, and I thought might as well use my free trial, audibletrial.com/GWHradio, to get to listen to that wonderful book that he sent us, and it's not there. But you can, I guess you can get a copy on Amazon of that book. But more importantly, you can sign up for your free trial and get over 150,000 hours of free audiobooks for your 30-day trial, audibletrial.com/GWHradio. See, I remember the plugs.
I'm glad one of us did. And
yeah, I
forgot
earlier.
I don't know if I would want to hear this on Audible because it's it's just
oh, don't
sad.
Bury that guy. Come
I'm
on.
Saying,
the book's not
no,
that bad.
I'm not saying it's a bad book. It's interesting. It's got some very interesting historical background on how pro wrestling basically came to be in the 1800s, but it is an encyclopedia, so it's not a beginning to end sort of book. That's all I'm saying.
No, it's
like,
not that. It's definitely a bathroom reader.
Yeah, and it'll probably be more interesting to talk to him about how he got all this information, why he, you know, went into this such a tedious endeavor, and. I haven't seen anything in it yet about guys from Georgia or any sort of wrestling that took place in Georgia, but I'm sure it's in there. I'm sure it happened. So yeah, we'll talk to him next Monday, and there's a lot of big stuff coming up for October and November. Cause there's a lot of big names coming through
yep.
Georgia. So of course, as we've seen in recent weeks and months, when we get bigger names, they often have technical difficulties or other difficulties. So we'll do what we can.
Yeah, I can already tell you that I will do my best to get what we talked about, but I just realized on the 13th, which is a Monday night, I will be at Phillips Arena, so I will not be on this show if we do the show on that Monday night.
Oh, no, we'll do it on Tuesday. Or Sunday.
Okay, we do it on a Tuesday, then I will definitely do my best to get that potential bigger guest on.
Because I will likely be at Phillips Arena as well. And
yeah, I figured it would be.
In the past, when that's happened, we usually do Tuesday. But I guess we'll talk about it off the air, and we'll figure out if Sunday or Tuesday is better.
And real quickly, Larry, I got not really a trivia question, but you know, you're an old Georgia Championship Wrestling fan. The first ever three-way match happened in October of 1980 between the Freebirds, the Assassins, and Mr. Wrestling 1 and 2. Do you know how they executed that matchup? Because I don't.
I do not. You know, and I may have even been at the show, but I couldn't tell you.
Because it was apparently the debut of the Freebirds, and I guess they came out to Lynyrd Skynyrd before the match started and somehow got put in the match, but I cannot find any reviews or results that tell how they actually executed the three-way.
Do you know what building it was done in?
It was at the Omni.
Damn, I must have been there, but I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, according to Kayfabe Memories and WrestlingData.com, it was at the Omni, and it was the first ever three-way match, but I don't know if they were all in the ring at the same time or how they did it. I'm assuming that they, you know, like two teams were in, and then maybe like once one got pinned, the other team came in or something like that. But that was the official first ever three-way match.
Wow.
Yeah. I was doing
maybe
some research
some of
in
our
Georgia Championship Wrestling. So.
Maybe some of our
yeah,
listeners
this would be a good
no.
time for Rich Tate. If Rich Tate still listens to the show, for Rich to send me an email about this. So I'd like to know if he actually had it on his site about how that match happened.
All right. Well, hopefully we'll find out. If so, we'll talk about it next week. You guys got anything else before we go?
No, I'm good.
I'm good.
All right. Well, thanks, Larry, for calling in, and thank you, Josh. We'll be back next Monday with Tim Corbin.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast. Production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.